For the past 6 weeks, we've been looking at our core values. We've been talking about what are the most important things if you belong to this church. And today we finish with what I would say is the hardest one, but it's also the one that can bring the most joy if we're willing to risk it. We've been introducing each of our core values with a song from popular culture, so today is no different. So we got to go back in time to late 1984. And in late 1984, Harry Belafonte, who is truly an American treasure, had an idea. His idea was to write a song and have it released so that it would sell a lot of records and raise money for famine relief. He got this idea after watching a British musicians come together under the name of Band Aid, and some of you might remember the song, Do They Know It's Christmas? Some of you might know that because when they played on the Christmas time. So Harry Belafonte got that idea from listening to those British people sing that, and so he formed a nonprofit called USA Africa, which is United States Support of Artists for Africa. And he decided he needed to find somebody to write a song so which they could raise money to help famine relief. And so he called a bunch of his friends who are musicians, you know, high-profile people, and he finally decided that these two people would write the song, Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson. So 7 weeks after the release of Do They Know It's Christmas, Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson finished writing this song, and the next day they began recording. But it wasn't done. They were so high on this thing that they actually called in the top music producer in the country, and some of you know, Quincy Jones, to produce this song. 6 days later, in the recording studio, one evening, after the American Music Awards had ended, so at about 10:30 at night, the rest of the musicians and singers that would participate in this song were brought in kind of in cover of darkness to finish recording this song, and they did it from about 10:30 to the wee hours of the morning, and it was completed. Now, we wouldn't hear the song until it was released on March 8th of that same year, 1985. Not only was it released on the radio, but some of us remember watching MTV for the music video premiere of this music videos. They do those anymore? Do they? I don't know. I mean, I just, no, yeah. I used to stay up on Friday and watch Friday Night. That's like a trip down memory lane, music videos. Anyways, sorry. I'm here again. I'm back. Okay, here I am. So, when it was released, it jumped to number one. This song jumped to number one, and it stayed there for a month in the number one slot. In the following year at the Grammy Awards, which always recognizes the songs from the year before, it won 4 awards. Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group, and Best Music Video. And if you haven't guessed the song, let's hear some of that right now.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world has come together as one.
Stand up and clap along. Let's sing this together. One. Hey, Tom.
You were channeling Kenny Rogers. I could feel it. Like, you were like Kenny Rogers in that moment.
I'm a gambler. I'm a gambler.
It was really good. Really, thank you. So we are the world. Does some of you remember that song? Yeah? Okay, good. Some of you, do you guys even know that song? I mean, at all? No? Okay. It was really cool when it came out. That's what I'm going to, as a 15-year-old, I thought that was a pretty cool song. And so, We Are the World, that year, that song, when it was released, raised $62 million. In today's money, that's about $144 million. That's a lot of money. And so our last core value out of the five that we've looked at, and this is the last one, is all about generosity. And this song was a call to be generous, to help people on the other side of the world who could do nothing for any of us, but we were just going to give and help. Now, before I go any farther, I just want to talk a little bit about how I would define generosity, because we might be on kind of different wavelengths as it comes to a definition of generosity. I would say it's this way. Generosity is the desire and the ability to abundantly give of one's resources without expecting anything in return. So it's about wanting to give and give abundantly. So with that in mind, when the song was released, the 45 was released, was it generous for people to buy the little 45 knowing that that money would go to Africa? The answer is no. The answer is no. It's a good thing, but it wasn't generous, because if you give money and somebody gives you something in return, well, that kind of lets out the definition of generosity in my book. Instead, it's the Latin term, quid pro quo. If I give you something, you give me something. And so to buy the record was to help people. That's a good thing, but it wasn't generous. Now, confirmants, if you don't know what a 45 is, ask somebody with gray hair. They'll clarify what a 45 is, just so you know. So here's the deal. The reason generosity is the last thing that I'm going to talk about as it relates to our core values over the last 5 weeks is that it's the most challenging of them all. For most people, giving abundantly is the biggest and last step when one wants to grow closer to Christ. When we talk about our other core values, those come easier. Oh, we should welcome people when they come to church. Okay, we can do that. Oh, it's good to strengthen our relationships with another Christ-centered community. We'll do that. Oh, I might want to learn something and go to a class or do devotion. I'll do that in spiritual growth. Oh, pastor talked about a need in the community that we need to address. I'll buy canned goods, or I'll buy this, or I'll get that, and I'll donate it, a turkey or food or whatever. But then when we get to the point of saying, what does it mean to generously give so that it grows my faith? People step back. I mean, let's just be honest. Some people never get there. Some people never give financially, and some will only give nominally. And someone would make the point or the argument and say, well, Jesus never said that you will know my disciples by their generous giving. He never said that. But he did say this. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it's gone, that worldly wealth, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. That is a summation of the story of the parable of the unjust steward. And the story goes like this. There was a guy who was managing the resources of his boss, a rich guy, and he wasn't doing a very good job of it, and his boss got wind of it, and he said, I'm going to let you go because you have not been managing my stuff well. So he called all the people who owed his boss stuff, and he started making deals with them. You know, cut the debt this much, cut it, so that when he got fired, all these people would welcome this guy into their homes. He was shrewd and cutting deals, playing, let's make a deal so that he have a safe landing. So Jesus summarizes, and he says this. He says, look, I want you to use your assets. And by the way, worldly wealth doesn't really capture it. It's really a very negative term in the original language. He said, Jesus says, use your assets to show your faith to others. Use your wealth to win friends. Do something positive with your capital. Now, if you were here a few weeks ago, and some of you weren't, I talked about the reading that Grant did. Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I told you, for years I struggled for what does this mean? Is there a spiritual bank in heaven? And every time I do a good deed, like there's like a little coin drop or something. I struggled with this. It didn't make sense because we can't earn God's love, so how can we store up in heaven because God loves us no matter what? And then it occurred to me, and I shared this with you all a few weeks back, is that we're not talking about things, we're talking about people. Jesus was talking about how we invest in our relationships here can translate into relationships in heaven. Now, think about this. The most valuable thing that we can store up, or to use a different word, the most valuable thing that we can save is other people. How about that? One of the ways that we can do that is to be generous as it relates to the church. Now, I'm just talking to church members here. If you're a guest here, I'm glad you're here. But this is really addressed to church members, that one of the ways we can be generous is how we take care of things at this church. It's not flashy to give to the church on a Sunday morning. It's not exciting. There's no external benefit for those who give generously versus those who don't. But your support, and for some of you, generous support, changes your own life. There's an internal benefit that you feel freed and not tied down by all the things that the rest of the world is trying to hold on to and accumulate, that some of you have figured out that the more I give, the more free I am to live joyfully. Now, on the business side of it, you know, we also have to have a building, which is a tool for us so that we can live out our mission, and we can do way more together when we pool our funds than we could ever do separately. But having a budget actually allows us to live into our core values. But it's a struggle. Everything in this world tells us not to give abundantly. And we know it's hard because we've talked about this. Scott, you know this, that Lutherans on average give 1.6% of their income. If you think that's a lot, we need to talk. The world says, hold on. The world says, don't give. The world says, accumulate. The world says, consume. And so that's why this is the last of our core values, because it's the hardest and last step in one's Christian faith. I mean, look at the advertisements we see. And what are we hearing? Buy this, purchase that, you'll be smarter, brighter, cuter, more handsome, whatever, if you just have this thing. But bear with me. We know as Christians, there's two big categories in the world, spiritually speaking. There's good and there's evil. And in that, the Bible characterizes the forces of good and the forces of evil in a very interesting way. Listen to this. I find this fascinating. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, consume. Forces of evil. Now the forces of good. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only son. Wow, right? If you didn't know this, let me just say it again. We most resemble God when we are generously giving. And when we are single-mindedly consuming or being tight-fisted, we look like someone else. I know who I want to resemble. And here's the thing is, if we get into the, cultivate the mindset of generosity, it can be like Christmas every day. You know what it's like when you're giving gifts at Christmas and it feels good to give? Well, we can have that feeling every day when we cultivate the core value of being a generous giver. And it'll hold as a block to materialism. Holding on to stuff, accumulating more. There is liberation in being generous. How about that? Besides that, it's contagious. Even Paul, we heard from 1 Corinthians, he was talking about another group of people to this church in Corinth. He was talking about the Macedonians, another church group, and this is what he said about them. He says, "For I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action." And you say, okay, giving can be contagious. But here's the thing you don't know about the Macedonians, or at least I don't think you do. The Macedonians were poor, as in dirt poor. They lived in northern Greece, and things weren't good. It wasn't easy to grow crops. It was barren. There were few opportunities for trade and industry. So basically, they had nothing, but they still wanted to give, even though they were severely restricted. They wanted to do what the other churches were doing because they wanted to be a part of something big and taking up an offering for the church in Jerusalem that was struggling under oppression. And so after they did this, this is what Paul said about the Macedonians. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty, it welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability. Being generous has nothing to do with an amount. Remember the story of Jesus watching this widow give an offering at the temple in Jerusalem, and she put in 2 half pennies, and Jesus said she has given more than everybody else because she gave a proportion of her income which was much higher than people who give out of their wealth. It's not about the amount. Generosity comes in all shapes and sizes in proportion to what we have, not about what we don't have. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the grocery store, and I was looking for my favorite salsa. I was out. I always keep a pint of salsa in the fridge, and my favorite is a local salsa company, a restaurant company called Casa Sanchez. I'm not alone. Who said that? You relate? So the medium roasted salsa is my favorite. I like that. So I was out, I went to the grocery store, I went back to the cooler where they have like 20 different kinds, and there wasn't any medium salsa. I was sad, but the guy who was from Casa Sanchez and his delivery truck was there restocking. Now this family has been in business since the 1920s in San Francisco. First as a restaurant, and then making tortillas, then chips, then salsa. I mean, this is a great family. So I say to the guy, I'm like, "Do you have any medium salsa?" And he's like, "Actually, we're out. There'll be some next week." And I said, "You know what, though? I want to tell you something. I really love the Casa Sanchez logo. I get a kick out of it." And he says to me, "Hold on, I'll be right back." And he runs out to his truck, and he comes back, and he gives me a T-shirt. I love this little guy riding his corn rocket, bringing salsa and chips to the world. It's like joyful. So this guy gives me a T-shirt. He actually goes out to his truck to get me a T-shirt. He didn't have to do that. He was working. I was deeply touched. It was generous. I wear that shirt proudly, even though my wife rolls her eyes at me. But the point is this, that generosity comes in all shapes and sizes. Because here's the deal. We're the ones making a brighter day. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making, and we're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day, just you and me. Try out generosity and see where it takes you, because I know it'll grow you closer to Christ. Amen.